Hello, everybody. I'm Bill Buckmaster, along with my buddy John Couch. John, engineering and producing the show. Welcome to the Buckmaster Show on this Monday, February 22nd, 2021. When I was growing up in Illinois, this was a big holiday. This is George Washington's birthday. Back in the day, we celebrated the 12th national holiday for Lincoln's birthday, and then 10 days later, you had Washington's birthday. So happy Washington's birthday to everybody. It's the Buckmaster Show in our 11th year already on the radio in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studios on 1030 Tucson's Voice for Trusted News Talk. Worldwide live listening on my website, buckmastershow.com, where we take the piggyback live feed from kvoi.com. The Buckmaster Show live line presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. Now on to our Monday roundtable featuring this week our commentators, Bruce Ash. Bruce is seated to my right, appropriately enough. He served 16 years as Republican National Committeeman for Arizona. He's host of the Inside Track program on KVOI Saturday afternoon at 1. Bruce, how are you?
I'm well, but I do need to correct you.
Is it 15 and a half years? What did I screw
14
up?
14 years.
Okay, let me change
my script. I wouldn't want to. I didn't want to overstay my welcome, and there I don't want to overstay
now. I will correct that template. Also with us, seated to my left, Dr. Don Jorgensen. Don is the former chair of the Pima County Democratic Party. How are you, Don?
I'm great, thanks. We had a nice hike out at Catalina State Park yesterday.
What
went out
beautiful
early in the morning.
Day.
It's a beautiful day, and I'll tell you what, it was amazing, as always, to see how resilient the desert Southwest is, because you could still see how much damage the fires from last summer did out there, but how the desert's coming back, and you know, I don't want to say it's indestructible, but it's indestructible,
it
was just a gorgeous morning.
The Monday Political Face-Off presented by our title sponsor of the Face-Off, Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing. Family-owned and run since 1985, and they do just such a great job, Bruce Ash. I know you were by there recently. I was over there Saturday to pick up an item I had delivered to Corinne and the team. Three original little oils that we picked up down in Chile when we went to Patagonia region of that area of South America. And they put them in one frame, kind of a triptych type thing. It's of museum quality, the work they did. I mean, it's just beautiful, the frame and kind of the linen mat that they used around.
Well, that's what their customers like you and me, expect and receive from them. I'm in the middle of getting a project underway with some of my political etheria, I guess it would be called. And, Corinne just comes up with great ideas.
She does.
And just always seems to match up with the perfect sort of materials.
She has a knack for that, for sure. Yeah. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge, and the website is moesgallery.com. Check the website out. It's got some very interesting items now for sale through e-commerce. CPAC, which is the Conservative Political Action Conference, will be getting underway in Orlando, Florida. The CPAC will be held at the Hyatt Regency. The title speaker, the keynote speaker, will be the former president, Donald Trump, who, Don, really has been kind of quiet. He's given a couple of interviews at Fox. He gave one to Fox and I think one to Newsmax. And he was pretty much going along with the same narrative that the election was stolen from him and that he won by a sizable margin.
Well, yeah, and what a nice few weeks of normalcy it seems like we've had, and able to breathe and relax again without the former president bombarding Twitter and social media. And that's really the only reason, is he's had to find those other more limited venues. And as you read or heard, the comments are exactly the same that we've heard for the past 4 or 5 years, and then for the past month, no responsibility for kind of supporting an insurrection against the United States, continuing with the same baseless arguments, the big lie about the election being stolen. It's the same old kind of whining, poor loser Trump that we're used to.
Bruce, let's run into this normalcy comment that Don made. I guess it's become normal again to beg Iran to come to the negotiating table. It's normal to accept genocide in China. It's normal to fail to stand up to teachers who we want to go back to work and refuse to. I guess it's normal for our country, again, to give China a greater license and enable them to enlarge their pollution of the world. I guess it is normal that there is a surge of illegal immigration, disabling the Second Amendment, elimination of the Hyde Amendment. I mean, imagine using federal dollars for abortions. I guess it's normal in these days of Joe Biden and Kamala Harris, to listen to the new Homeland Security Director, cabinet officer, say that elimination of ICE is definitely on the table now, or not standing up in the workplace areas. You know, the president made such a big deal that if anybody in his administration disgraced or dishonored fellow worker, that they would be immediately fired. T.J. Ducklow got a week's suspension. Now, he later resigned, but all he got was a week's suspension. I guess it's normal for people within the administration to call police racist. And, Don, I know you're going to ask the question. It was Dejan Tatro. I guess it's normal to have a $1.9 trillion pandemic stimulus,
okay,
which is mostly a leftist bailout.
It is
this
not,
is the new normal here in the country.
It's not normal for me to give you more time than Don, so I'm going to. We got the picture there. Bruce, I do want to go back to the role of President Trump and the Republican Party, but you've kind of switched the gears here on me, which is fine, you know, so let Don respond to that.
Okay. What's normal is for, or expected is for a president to tell the truth. And that's what we're hearing for the past month that we hadn't heard for the past 4 years. It's normal to talk straight to the American people and be honest about what your policies are and to attempt to work with the other party. I'm not going to go through each point that Bruce just brought up because most of them are false or twisted or flat not true. It is hopefully normal for a president, as we have now with Joe Biden, to care more about the needs of the American people than about an extreme wing of his party. And that's why we're seeing focus on some of these executive orders that are helping folks by providing a COVID coordinator and extending the response to COVID with providing the appropriate treatment and care and a plan for vaccination that we didn't see, to extend Obamacare so that people can enroll that have had no health care in dealing with this. Yes, to deal with some of the consequences of climate change in the environment that Trump just laid waste to. To hold China accountable, which is what Biden is doing with returning some tariffs or continuing some tariffs. And yes, to end discrimination against Muslims and LGBT communities around the world. That's what we're seeing, is a president who cares about the American people first and not his own business interests.
The president has characterized his presidency as one that's going to be about reconciliation and reunification. However, at the same time, he characterizes protesters as extremists. He never characterized the insurrectionists who burned down police buildings or government buildings, or tried to do so in Portland with the federal courthouse, or burned down businesses and killed people and set up sort of mock cities in places like Seattle and destroyed downtown areas of Portland and Chicago and New York City and Washington, D.C. Instead, he calls everybody who didn't agree with him a protester. He calls them an extremist. That's the good-hearted guy that we got.
And
good old Joe came to the White House.
Don, go ahead real quickly, respond, because then I want to talk about something that is normal, and that's Mona's Danish Bakery.
Well, I'll talk about that.
Okay.
I'll enjoy that.
Yes.
But this is the typical Republican false equivalency. You can't compare the kind of problems that Bruce described that happened around the country and happened in Washington that was promoted by Trump or caused by Trump in Bill Barr. But you can't compare any of that with an attack on the United States of America, with an attack and attempt to murder the second in line for the presidency, the third in line for the presidency, other senators and congresspeople of their own party. There's just no comparison. It was only the second time since the War of 1812 that we've had that kind of attack. And was there a difference then? Yes, there was. Biden condemned it. Trump supported it.
There is no comparison to Mona's Danish Bakery. Mona's the home of the Danish Kringle, northeast corner of Swan and Sunrise. My wife went up and I said, pick me up one of those, if you're going to be up there, and she was, pick up one of those beautiful cinnamon rolls. She brought home two. And, of course, I'm still working on the second one. carved up the first for Saturday and Sunday, and then just had a very small piece today. And I'll tell you, folks, they will last. Microwave them, if you like them a little warm, about 5 to 10 seconds, and it's like it just came out of the oven.
You know, they're a little better when, you know, after a few days, when the frosting gets a little crinkly. You know,
thank
I like
you.
That.
Yeah. That's what they are that way, and but that's what I discovered this morning.
As another fan, good luck getting them to last that long.
Yeah. No, but I think, Bruce, you make a good point. We're talking
you just need to buy more so they'll last longer, that's all.
We're talking room temperature for the cinnamon rolls, and I guess my talking them up has made a big difference because they have been making more of them, and they've been selling out. So check it out right now if you want to go by for lunch, if you haven't had breakfast, whatever. Northeast corner, Swan and Sunrise, monasdanishbakery.com is the website. The Monday Political Face-Off with Bruce Ash and Don Jorgensen will continue. Our face-off presented by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge. Be right back.
Vero Amore Restaurant in Plaza Palomino at Fort Lowell and Swan and Dove Mountain in Marana are now open for limited in-restaurant and patio dining, along with takeout and home delivery. All of your favorite Vero Amore menu items, including Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, are ready for you and your friends and family. More at VeroAmorePizza.com.
If it can't be grown, then it must be mined. Cause without minerals, you never find your phones, your cars, your solar panels, or your smart TVs with your favorite channels. Hospitals, schools, and public facilities result from mining's vast abilities. Dividends, taxes, and high-paid employment come from mining for your enjoyment. Brought to you by the Southern Arizona Business Coalition.
A Citizens Advisory Committee of the Regional Transportation Authority is starting to review projects submitted by RTA member jurisdictions for consideration for the next RTA plan. The committee will consider plan goals and performance factors as they move into the selection process. The RTA will seek public feedback on the committee's draft plan when it is ready. Learn more about plan goals and sign up to stay informed at rtanext.com.
This is Bill Buckmaster. You've heard me talk about choosing Tucson International Airport. While fewer people are traveling lately, our airport is doing even more these days to help ensure traveler health safety, including counter safety shields, physical distancing markers, enhanced cleaning, and more. It's called TUS Cares, and you can learn more at flytucson.com. These may be different times, but my priority remains to fly Tucson. Tucson International Airport.
Vets working hard to save wildlife covered in cactus spines. A skunk left for dead, miraculously saved by a caring citizen. Those are just a couple of the headlines from the nonprofit Tucson Animal Rescue Center, where thousands of animals are cared for each year at its state-of-the-art Far East Side Tucson facility. Rescue, rehab, and release. The Tucson Wildlife Center, saving wildlife for more than two decades. Donate online at TucsonWildlife.com or call 290-WILD.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Here at Bon Voyage Travel, we encourage you to keep the travel spark alive by exploring the world through our weekly webinar series that includes inspiration and insight from some of the top leaders in the travel industry. When you're ready to plan your next adventure, know that Bon Voyage Travel will be here to advise and assist. Join us every Wednesday at 3 p.m. for a new virtual destination discovery. While we're apart, let's keep dreaming together. Visit bvtravel.com for more information.
Welcome back. It is the Monday Political Face-Off presented by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge, right next to Copenhagen. And their website's moesgallery.com. They've upgraded the website. Looks really good. They've got some wonderful merchandise for sale now through the website. And when I was over there Saturday, they've got some really interesting art in the gallery because they are not only a framing operation, they are a full art gallery as well. Bruce Ash is here and Dr. Don Jorgensen. We're talking, our topic was about CPAC, which is the conservative group that meets. They meet annually, right, Bruce?
They do.
Okay, so they've got the headliner is President Trump. So, Bruce, what do you think the president's role should be in the Republican Party right now? That seems to be kind of the big topic for Republicans.
Well, he is the leader of the party, and it's not Mitch McConnell or Kevin McCarthy or Ronna McDaniel. He is the spirit of the party. And look, you go back to the America First principles during his administration, supporting American citizens and consistently placing America's interests first, supporting and standing up for life and our traditional American values, supporting and defending the U.S. Constitution and rule of law, supporting American sovereignty and a strong defense, supporting national energy independence, self-sufficiency through intellectual development and regulation reform, supporting human rights around the world, supporting and nominating judges who would defend the United States Constitution, supporting economic policies that created more jobs, fair trade, and greater wealth for all Americans, supporting excellence in education and freedom of choice for parents, and supporting the repeal of government-run health care and promoting free enterprise solutions. I mean, these are the things that the president accomplished during his presidency and plenty more, and kept the peace his entire presidency. And these are the reasons that Democrats now, 15% in a recent poll just last week, and it wasn't done by a Republican group. It was done by, you know, what otherwise I would refer to as fake media. but this particular poll showed that 15% of Democrat voters that were polled said, had they known then what they know now about the Hunter Biden and Team Biden escapades with the Chinese government, and had they known then what we now know about all of these things that I talked about a few minutes ago, they wouldn't have voted for Joe Biden.
But Don, the polling just came out about the job performance for the new president. It's quite good.
It's incredibly
high.
It's
over 50%.
Well over 50%. And again, I think more than over 15% of Republicans supported him too. But this, what's happening in the Republican Party and whether Trump should lead him or not is a real interesting question, because Bruce is right. And it's, I frankly, good news for Democrats that this extremist belief system and ideology of Donald Trump and the Republican Party with regard to the big lie and ties to violent extremist groups and support for QAnon, that is supported by 75% of Republicans. So that is who the Republicans are. And from the Democratic view, you have to look at what happened in the last 4 years. during Trump's tenure, they lost the White House, they lost the House, they lost the Senate. In Arizona, we're seeing the same thing happening. And now, since the insurrection and the absolute failure of Republicans to hold folks in their own party accountable, they're seeing a massive number of Republicans leave the party just since January 6th. And looking at, I think there were 25 states that had accessible data. Nearly 140,000 Republicans left their party. And I think 17,000 of those, Bruce may have the number, have left the Republican Party in Arizona. And so that's pretty clear statement in itself. So if the Republicans want to keep Donald Trump in charge of their party, I think that's good news for Democrats and looking ahead in terms of pushing forward health care, accessible health care for all, dealing with the issues of climate change, dealing with restoring a healthy economy after the damage Trump has done. This is good news for the American people that it's likely the Democrats will be able to continue to lead.
Bruce, before you respond to that, we had a friend who wants me to ask you about today's news. Why didn't former President Trump release his taxes like he promised? The Supreme Court today said
he never promised to do it.
He did
beforehand.
He never promised that he would release them.
No, he was under audit, and there was information that he didn't have to provide, and he didn't. Now, if the state government of New York, who has been trying to prosecute him, want to get it, and the Supreme Court says that he has to give it, I'm sure that there will be an accommodation provided. I want to get back to quote-unquote the big lies. If it has become a lie in this country to support American citizens and our American interests first around the world, and if it has become a lie to stand up for life and traditional values.
The big lie we're talking about, and
lie.
You know this.
Tell us about the big lie,
The big
Don.
Lie is the Republicans trying to claim that the 2020 election was not free and fair.
We're done talking about that.
Well,
Donald
Trump is still talking about it, and you say he's the leader of your party.
He can talk about it all he wants. These are the things, these are the principles, these are the actions that our country stood for during the Trump administration. These are things, the antithesis, are happening today in the new administration. And you know, the support for President Biden, he's getting the honeymoon that President Trump never got from the day after the election, November 9th, 2016. The attack started, the violence started, the threat started, the investigation started, the refusal to allow the president form his cabinet and make other administrative appointments. All of these things were done by Democrats. Let me just finish making my point.
Republicans had the Senate and the House at the time, and he couldn't do it.
Don, have you forgotten how the Senate works? There is this thing called cloture, and a 60 vote requirement. Okay, you know, you can say what you want, Don. Either you don't understand how the Senate works, or you're just telling a fib.
Republicans can't attack the message, they attack the messenger. Remember that.
Oh, come on, please. I didn't attack you. I'm attacking your, you know, yours and the Democrat Party's failure to acknowledge the things that this president spoke up for and supported and accomplished all through his presidency.
So you're saying Trump did not get any honeymoon at all when he was elected?
Tell me where the honeymoon was.
I don't know.
I mean, ask the question. Tell me, when do you think he got a honeymoon? Do you think it was ever easy?
So we're supposed to feel sorry for him that he didn't get done.
No, we're not.
What you wanted him to get done?
No, we're not going to feel sorry for him.
No, he's a big boy. He took the job.
Yeah,
and he failed.
Yeah, right. Okay. Well, that's your opinion. You're entitled to it.
That's why we're here, Bruce.
It is still a free country for those who are willing to stand up for their rights, and you can make that point all you want.
The big lie, and I don't want to put words in Don's. He's talking about the election. And you know, Bruce, that this is going to come up at the keynote address with conservatives. How do you think that's going to go over?
I don't know.
Okay. If you were in the audience, how would you be reacting?
You know, I've never been to CPAC.
You haven't?
No.
Huh.
I certainly support it. I know the people who run it.
And it's the signature event of conservatives,
you know,
right?
When I was on the RNC,
yeah.
I would be away from my home and my business and my family for a week.
It's a week-long
in late,
deal,
always
yeah.
in late January. And this is like a whole other thing. And I never could justify it. I had Randy Pullen email me or text me yesterday and say, why don't we go to CPAC? And I'm like, oh, geez, I'm moving into a new house. I'm selling my old house. I'm packing up. I can't possibly do
it. Okay, guys. Good to see you, Don Jorgensen. Thanks for coming
in. Pleasure
to
be
back. Bruce Ash as well. Always a pleasure. The Monday Political Face-Off presented by Moe's Gowrie and Fine Framing. They have been our signature sponsor of the Face-Off since we launched the first Monday in January back in 2011. Moe's Gowrie and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge, and at moesgowrie.com. Stop in and say hello. Tell them that Bill Buckmaster sent you and Bruce Ash as well.
Always.
Always. Be right back.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local independent nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com, we are watching Tucson.
The Arizona mining industry provides precious metals needed to support technical and structural equipment used by law enforcement, firefighters, and the military to keep us safe here and around the world. But the most critical part of public safety and national security is the people who serve without hesitation to protect us. The Southern Arizona Business Coalition stands with our men and women who serve with respect, responsibility, integrity, and discipline daily to keep us safe.
The average person in the USA today takes over 12 prescription medicines each year. And if you're over age 65, it is more than 17 medicines. CredibleMeds.org is a nonprofit organization dedicated to helping inform you and your healthcare providers. Over 30,000 people die each year from reactions to their medicines. Don't be one of those numbers. Be informed and stay safe. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and take control of your healthcare by taking your medicines safely.
Reed Park Zoo is now open for wildlife walks, a modified guest experience, prioritizing social distancing and safety. To find out more about all the changes and the new safety precautions now in place, visit reedparkzoo.org. The community-approved 10-year master plan ensures that your zoo's future is brighter than ever before. We've missed you, and so have the animals. They're waiting to welcome you back to the Reed Park Zoo. Noble Hops in Oro Valley is now open to welcome guests for limited in-restaurant and patio dining, along with takeout and home delivery. All of your favorite Noble Hops menu items are available for you, your family, and friends. So check out Noble Hops, a pub for foodies, on West Lambert Lane at North La Cañada Drive in Oro Valley, and on the web at noblehopspub.com.
As a small business owner, I appreciate the services of a top-notch certified public accountant. That's why Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates is the CPA firm of the Buckmaster Show. Michael's a former Small Business Leader of the Year in Tucson. He'll professionally handle all of your accounting needs and tax preparation services. Flowers, Rieger & Associates, 6125 East Grant Road, and on the web, flowersrieger.com.
Green Things is a family-owned and operated plant nursery serving Tucson since 1970. Open daily at 3384 East River Road, Green Things is chock full of plants and pottery from around the world. Green Things is also now home to Zocalo, featuring fine Mexican and South American imports spread over five buildings on the 13-acre Green Things property. For more, visit greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show on this final Monday of February. It's the 22nd of February, Washington's birthday. We are in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studios. Green Things, our favorite nursery here in town, 51st year now. They've turned the corner. After a half century over at 3384 East River Road, all of the beautiful plants on 13 acres, amazing plants, trees, annuals, and more, they're open daily for you. And when you're over there at Green Things picking up those amazing plants, stop by and look at the beautiful things in Zocalo Village, all the great Talavera pottery, antiques, and fine art. ZocaloVillage.com, GreenThingsAZ.com. The Buckmaster Show Live Line, presented by Rincon Ventures, Real Estate and Property Management. Let's go now on the live line. Pima County Supervisor, Democrat, District Number 2, Dr. Matt Hines. Dr. Hines, how are you, sir?
I'm very well, Bill. Thanks so much for having me.
Well, this is our first visit with you since you have assumed the District 2 supervisorial position. You are a attending physician at TMC. You've been on the front lines. And first of all, I want to say thanks to you and all of your colleagues. You have been working incredible hours. How is all of this, how is juggling the supervisor position and your medical profession, how is it going, Dr. Hines?
It's going well. It's something that, I mean, I've always had a commitment to public service and advocacy for improvement in our healthcare system and a lot of other areas. And I was in the legislature for a number of years and balanced the drive to Phoenix and also continued work at the hospital. And for a couple of years, it was with the Obama administration that did require flights, but I did still go back and forth to keep up with my medical practice as well during that time when I was looking back east for the Health and Human Services. So I do have some. This has been in a lot of ways really like a breath of fresh air in terms of the logistics and commuting, because I live about 3/4 of a mile from the county offices. So as opposed to a drive up to Phoenix or a flight to Washington, D.C., that's actually been, so you know, of all of the public positions I've held, this has been one that has been very conducive to fitting into, you know, to adapting. And so that's been really good. And I have a great staff, great team of people around me, too.
As they say, you can walk and chew gum at the same time. Multitasking, Dr. Matt Hines. All right. Horrible milestone today. 500,000 deaths. People we know in this community, everybody has been touched, I think, in this country. Let's begin with Pima County's response, Dr. Hines. Grade it for me. Grade it. How have we done?
You know, I think we have done very well overall. I mean, compared especially to the other counties in Arizona and across the nation, we are uniquely blessed to have as our director of the health department a person who has 20 plus years in experience with public health, was an assistant or deputy, I guess, surgeon general, you know, has real rear admiral standing in terms of her the level of experience that she's attained, is a practicing physician herself. All of these things, you know, really, very unique to have somebody with that kind of experience. So that's Dr. Cullen I'm talking about. Dr. Cullen, Dr. Garcia, and with the county administration, did some very important work early on, which is before it was clear they had funds to do it. They put forward and fronted money for not only vaccine distribution infrastructure, but also a lot of the testing for coronavirus that we have been doing so robustly in Pima County. That got up and running many, many months ago before a lot of other places in the country were doing it. So I'd say overall we're in the B-plus category. The limiting situation on the vaccine rollout front, as you've heard and we've all been talking about, has just a frustratingly low supply of vaccines seems to be coming to Pima County, despite our demonstrated ability to efficiently deliver up to 8,000 doses into arms every day through the county infrastructure and through our partners at the University of Arizona. Well, that's now a state pod, but through the city of Tucson at TCC, and of course, partners Banner Health and Tucson Medical Center. We are not getting those enough doses to really do that. So we're struggling with vaccine scarcity right now, but the nice thing is that as we get over the scarcity frustration, that bottleneck, we will be equipped due to all of the effort the county's put forward and all the infrastructure in place, we'll be equipped to really ramp up very, very quickly to make sure that we can get to that 75 or 80% level of vaccination so we can really open things up again.
Let's try to clarify for our listeners, is Pima County going to continue with free COVID testing? There's a lot of confusion. Money that was promised wasn't delivered to Pima County. What is the very latest, Dr. Hines?
So the latest is that the state is freeing up some of the $460 million that was dedicated to the local health jurisdictions. This is typically going to be the county health department responsible for testing. That is a little different in Maricopa County because the state itself is doing about 80% or so of the testing up there in Maricopa County. So But with Pima County, of course, we're doing all of this ourselves. We're contracting with Paradigm Laboratories. They've been very responsive, and I think overall have done very, very well for us. But it's an expensive contract. And so what this year so far, we've fronted about $11 million, anticipating our fair share of that $400 million. We are being told we're going to get about $14.3 million of that. So that does take care of what we've spent, and we'll keep our that level of this testing we talked about going till about March, for sure, through the March 2nd board meeting, when we'll have to talk again if there hasn't been additional funds freed up from those from that bucket. And just to point out, that is federal money coming through HHS and the CDC going to the state, not to stay at the state, but to be distributed to those local testing authorities like our county health department. So that is a frustration as well.
So if someone wants a free COVID test in Pima County, they can get it right now.
Absolutely. That has not been suspended. There's plenty of availability, and you can still do that at any of the locations, pima.gov, to find those specific places where you can sign up for an appointment. It's usually very, very quick.
What do you think about Pima County still pursuing the curfew lawsuit? The city kind of joined on Friday in moving this forward in the legal system. Is it necessary at this point, Dr. Hines?
I am very concerned that the governor and the state have, in some cases, disrupted our response. And for one, there's no statewide mask mandate. There are so many other mitigation efforts that could potentially be necessary, depending on how the variants impact us, how many people are vaccinated by that time. The state law in statute within Title 36, it very clearly specifies that the director of a county's public health department, it has near absolute authority to initiate mitigation strategies to take care of an epidemic, of a plague, of some sort of contagion. And it is very expressly stated. So the reason I want this case to go forward is because I would like to have, basically backup of that. There have been some historical rulings by our Supreme Court finding that in the past. But I think, now that this lower court has, ruled against the county and against the curfew, I would really appreciate having this clarified, because there is very, very clear statute that says the county has this authority, and I believe that the court case is important to make sure that we uphold that and support it for any future need.
Let's try to work in caller Robert before we take the break. Go ahead, Robert. You had a question about COVID testing.
Hi, Bill. Matt, if there's a supply of vaccine, why don't they dispense it to the pharmacy? I don't need it free. I'll pay for it. The county just screws everything up.
Okay. Go ahead, Dr. Hines.
So I think, Robert, so there really isn't much of a supply of the vaccine right now coming into the county. And I think that's, and the federal government has committed to making sure that that is free for everyone who is interested in getting one. So there's no question about the cost really to any individual that's going to be covered. But there isn't enough supply, as I was mentioning, to stock the various pods the county is supporting fully, much less expanding that out to pharmacies. It's important to know that the state of Arizona has partnered with 6 pharmacies throughout southern Arizona and Pima County, and their information specifically on how to register for vaccine at those pharmacies, because they do have a limited supply coming from the state directly. And those can be found at pima.gov/COVID-19 vaccine, and that all is there for folks. And there's been some direct partnership with, I believe, CVS and Walgreens from the federal government, but they have not, to my knowledge, received a significant number of doses yet, just because, again, there's still some supply scarcity that we're dealing with.
Would you suspect, Dr. Hines, within 30 days, this whole vaccine picture with supply is going to change drastically? That would be my hope, anyway.
Yeah, no, that's my hope and expectation. I'm thinking that will be about the time frame, 4 to 6 weeks for sure. We'll see a significant relief in that bottleneck. We do have an emergency use. Johnson & Johnson, we're going to have some other vaccine options coming forward. Not sure on how quickly they'll be able to ramp up production. But as you know, Johnson & Johnson is a single shot as opposed to a series of two. So there are some advantages there in terms of having no need to schedule follow-up. But yeah, that is my hope at this point.
All right. We'll talk more with Dr. Matt Hines after we take the break. It's Buckmaster in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studios. We'll be right back. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing is once again welcoming guests to the gallery. Stop by or call ahead for a one-on-one appointment or even a virtual design session. Come by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, located at the southwest corner of Fort Lowell and Dodge. The number is 795-8226 and on the web at moesgallery.com. Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100. Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com.
The Regional Transportation Authority plan is funded by a voter-approved half-cent sales tax, which expires in June 2026. To prepare for ongoing project delivery, the RTA board established a Citizens Advisory Committee to select projects for a new draft plan. The committee will help identify which projects to invest in to best meet regional transportation needs. Learn more about plan development and provide early input at rtanext.com.
Hello, I'm Danette Bewley, President and CEO of the Tucson Airport Authority, with news of our new effort to ensure air traveler safety and security going through our terminal. It's called TUS Cares, and you can read more about it on our website, flytucson.com. As you carefully weigh your decision to fly, I want you to know whether it's next week, next month, or next year, we are here for you at Tucson International Airport. Thank you.
Hi, this is Pam Krim, CEO of the Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona, where we set the standards for marketplace trust by engaging with and educating consumers and businesses. The BBB is the place to turn for objective and unbiased information on businesses. Learn more about the many services offered by the Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona at bbb.org/Tucson.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studios. We're all counting the days till we'll be able to travel again freely here in the United States and the Southwest. Hopefully the day is coming when we'll be able to jump in the car and drive over to a beautiful area of the Southwest, Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico. We have sent so many listeners to that beautiful area. Please start your planning now. They're not ready to accept out-of-state visitors in New Mexico. The case numbers count has looked real good over in New Mexico. Lots of progress over there. So you can start your planning now for when the state will be open by visiting southwestnewmexico.org for the listing of great places to stay and so many recreation opportunities. Dr. Matt Hines is with us, Pima County Supervisor, District 2. Also working for many years now as a hospitalist at Tucson Medical Center, a very sad day in the United States history, hitting a 500,000 deaths from coronavirus. There are few events in the history of this country that really adequately compare. I was thinking, Dr. Hines, about the collateral damage from this, from a mental health standpoint. We're seeing that suicides, not only among adults, are way up, but also among school kids. These are issues that relate to the COVID restrictions. Some of your thoughts, please.
Oh yes, it's a terrible, terrible, landmark at this point. And I see a lot of the effects from the stress and strain from the constant adrenalized kind of response that we've all had to have as healthcare workers. I see this in my colleagues, like nurses and respiratory therapists I work with, and I hear from them that it also is impacting their families and their kids, of course. So, we all are beyond pandemic fatigued, and I understand that firsthand, and I understand that from a lot of different perspectives. But this is something we're going to be, we're going to have to be addressing the behavioral health fallout as well. It's so important to recognize that and get people help. When people see signs of folks that are depression or certain things that maybe people are saying that are concerning to their friends and family, we need to make sure that they feel supported and have support and can get resources as needed. I'm very concerned that we're going to lose a lot of our healthcare workers. And I don't mean from self-inflicted necessarily from suicide, but I know that dozens of nurses have left over the past year, just left. They didn't leave TMC to go to Northwest or to other facilities. They left healthcare. And it's just the number of people so sick and dying so frequently in front of us. Yes, we're all prepared for that in healthcare, but that not so much always, every day, every shift, calling a family. Family can't be at the bedside when their loved ones are passing. So, FaceTiming with clergy, FaceTiming with family, and it's so much to do that once. It's very emotionally draining, but to do that a couple times per shift, our healthcare workers have been really having a tough go of it. And the kids, especially our elementary age kids, for socialization and for development purposes, we really need to get them back to school. And I know that that our school districts are ramping that up right now. Studies are showing it much safer to have with social distancing and face mask wearing and hand washing and all the other mitigation efforts in place. It is considered much safer to at the elementary level to reopen schools for in-person education because they do not spread coronavirus amongst themselves, elementary age kids, or that we've seen to the teachers and to the adults that will be working with them. So I'm glad we're ramping that up. So,
you really bring up an interesting point, not only the fallout, the collateral damage from the mental health, but this thing about healthcare workers, we had a shortage in many parts of the country, not only of physicians in some areas, but also of nurses. There could be dramatic fallout in the post-COVID world for the United States medical system. Would you agree?
Oh, absolutely. We had, especially here in Southern Arizona, we have never not had. It's not very great, Grandpa. We have had since my time in healthcare here, since I finished my residency at the U of A, we had a shortage of a variety of physicians and also of nursing. The entire time I was in the legislature, this entire past two decades almost, we've had shortages among these subsections in the healthcare working fields. And this is just going to, and what you have is you have people in their maybe late 50s, early 60s, just kind of early retiring. And you have some, my own cousin in California, she'd been a nurse for like 6 months when COVID hit, and she just said, all right, I'm done. She just like gave her notice and left, and she's staying, you know, she's decided not to do it anymore. Those are the ones that really hit me so hard, because of the ones in their 20s that are just not going to have a 20, 30, 40 year career in nursing. And we so desperately need them. So Bill, you're absolutely right. And we're not thinking about that right now, because we're kind of still in that, you know, rapid response at the, you know, we're still dealing with this emergency, but there are going to be people, and then there are people that maybe are holding out until we can kind of get back to a little bit toward normalcy.
Right.
And then there's going to be a cliff. We're going to fall. I don't mean to be so negative, but I can tell. I can see it in their eyes. I can hear it in their voices. A lot of us are really burned out, and so I think that that's going to manifest itself in, okay, things seem a little bit better, and we're going to see a massive drop off in people. There's early retirements or just leaving the field.
Think about your own days, Matt Hines, in medical school. There could have been no way, you know, you would have known about and read about the history of the Spanish flu, the Spanish influenza. Mm-hmm. You would have known about that, but probably there was no way that you thought that something of this scale would ever impact you in your particular profession. So I'm just guessing you have seen more death and dying in the last 11 months than you ever dreamed would have been possible.
Oh yeah, than any of us in almost any aspect of medicine, especially on the hospital side of things, would normally be expecting to see in multiple lifetime careers in that field. Like, that's no question. And the other striking thing, as you mentioned, from 102 years ago, I guess 102 years ago now, with that Spanish flu pandemic, we had at that time, during the onset of that pandemic, a very skeptical administration at the federal level and very like not consistent recommendations and leadership all the way from the top. And to think that we had in many ways very similar, almost mirrored, in fact, the same thing 102 years later, you know, like that's I found that pretty striking.
Yeah, it's very ironic. Dr. Matt Hines, good talking with you. We'll try to catch up with you in a month or so. Thanks, Dr. Hines.
Absolutely, Bill. Have a good one.
Dr. Matt Hines, District 2 Pima County Supervisor, really bringing up a striking point, and that we may be falling off the cliff here as far as medical professionals when this all settles down, that nurses just are walking away and saying, we don't want any more. And who could blame them after all the death and dying that they are seeing? All right, that's going to do it for the Buckmaster Show, a show today, as usual, I think, filled with lots of content. Going to do it again tomorrow in 23 hours with John Couch, engineering and producing. Dave Ramsey's next. Have a great afternoon, everybody.